Amen. Come on, let's give our men one more hand of praise. Hallelujah. These brothers, they put in long hours trying to get this thing together. We're not singers, amen. We sing, but we're not singers, amen. We just love to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It's something about when men praise God, it sets an atmosphere that cannot be duplicated. Amen. Women, we love you. We thank you for holding it down. But I believe we got some men around here saying we're going to assume our position once again as the priest, the provider, and the protector of our houses. Amen. Amen. We are to be first partakers. Amen. Hallelujah. My wife told me it's something sexy about a man when he worship. Amen. I don't know about you. She just whispered in my ear. She said, I heard that growl you saying, babe. Ooh, you growl. Ooh. Tony the Tiger. Ooh, look at you. Bless the Lord. Amen. 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 So that ought to be something to the men. Amen. Amen. You can start worshiping God around the house. Hallelujah. Amen. You might be blessed beyond measure. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God. We thank God. Amen. We've got back to church. Sunday is the 17th. 17th. That's next Sunday. Amen. We got some cards, some invitation cards out in the foyer. We ask if you get one of those cards and pray about who it is that God is leading you to invite. Amen. Amen. Here's why that's so important. Because when you move in obedience, guess what? God's already prepared their heart. Amen. Amen. Thank you for those four hand claps. The Bible says, I'm paraphrasing, that one who goes out and scatters seed, he can look for and expect a harvest. Amen. And when you start sharing and inviting people, that's seed, especially when God tells you what ground to plant it in. You can expect a harvest. Ask God, who is it? Who do you want me to share this with? Who is it that you want me to share this with? And listen for the Holy Spirit, because it might not be the person you expect. Amen. It might not be the person you expect, but no, if God is leading you to that person to share, to witness, then he's already prepared their heart. Hallelujah. So please get one of these cards and share them. Share them with somebody that God will lead you to. Maybe you've already begun the process. Maybe you've already shared and you've already invited them. This just put some on it. Amen. Put some on it. Say, here, you know what? This is going to happen. This is what we're going. I like you to be a part of this gathering with us. And for those, we ask that you get one. We're limited with our physical numbers. We're going to send out the electronic invitation as well. Same thing. You can invite people over your text message or email. But let somebody know. Amen. Let somebody know. If you're being blessed, don't be selfish. Let somebody else know where you're being blessed. Amen. I say it all the time. You let people know where you get your shoes when you get them on sale. Amen. Without they ask, oh, those are nice shoes. You like these? $12.99. Shoe Barn. Did you just offer that information? Why we got to be so tight-lipped about where we're being spiritually blessed and spiritually fed? Amen. Amen. And I thank God. Thank God for those of you who will become what God has already called us, able ministers. Amen. Amen. Don't sink back in the chair. You are all able ministers. You are all able ministers. What does that mean, Pastor? It means that God has equipped you and gifted you to minister life to those that he's given you influence over right now. Without you taking a text, without you hooping, without you grabbing your ear and as an old folks say, hiking up your leg and you don't have to do all that. Your lifestyle is preaching a sermon. Thank you, Deacon, for that hand clap. Your lifestyle is preaching a sermon. My question is, what text are you taking? You taking the text of flesh? Oh, that's another mess. Okay, all right. Y'all done got cold on me. Amen. But just understand, we are, the Bible says, and I like what Paul says, we are living epistles. An epistle is an open book. A book. It's a you are a living open book, seen and read of men. People are reading you. People are reading you. They're flipping the pages of your life when they look at you. Are they reading science fiction? Horror stories? Or is it the good news of Jesus Christ? Is it a rags to riches story? I once was blind, but now I see. Amen. Amen. Just know that. As believers, and I don't know who this is for, as believers, we should not respond the same way the world does. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord had to, I'm saying that not from a high place, but I'm right there with you. Holy Spirit had to check me at work. I'm bivocational, and folks talking about what they talking about 45, and before I knew it, I was talking about 45. And Holy Spirit said, listen, I told you to pray for your leaders that it might go well with you. Scripture says, pray for your leaders and those who are in authority that it might go well with you. Amen. Well, Pastor, he's just acting crazy. Lord, help his crazy notions. Help his crazy. He says, we ought to pray for your leaders that it might go well with you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And I've got evidence in this word that God will turn the heart of leaders. There's evidence in this word that God has turned the heart of leaders. Pharaoh, look at Pharaoh was dead set on keeping the Israelites in bondage. As a matter of fact, at one point he wanted to kill off a whole generation. But when God's hand was on Pharaoh, he said, get out and take this with you and take back pay and take severance and take all that. God will, when his hand is on a leader, but he needs our voice to speak in the atmosphere to give him permission to move. We got to give God permission? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. He says, Genesis, I've given you authority. In the earth and on the earth. Don't nothing move until you give God permission. Because what he's trying to show you what it means, what it looks like and what it feels like to have dominion. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's another teaching, but I'm telling you right now, you're so loaded with dominion power right now. I'm not talking about electricity. I'm not talking about electrical provider. You're so loaded with dominion power right now. That's why the devil's attacking you, because he's afraid of you. He's afraid of you that you might come into the knowledge of who you are. You know you can speak things into motion. Hallelujah. You're doing it already. Don't look like I can make ends meet. Guess what? They'll never meet because you just spoke that thing. You just set that in order. He says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and the beasts of the field. When he says, let them, he was talking to us. Talking to us. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. That's you and me. That's you and me. That's you and me. Amen. Amen. I'm not berating you. I'm trying to build you up to let you know that life and death is in the power of your tongue. If you don't like your situation, speak to it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I say like this. This is the last thing I'm gonna say on that. You'll never look at the way any coffee drinkers in here. Amen. Y'all use creamer? Okay, some of y'all just go straight. Y'all hardcore. I can't mess with y'all. I need a little cream in my. But when you put the cream or the sugar in there and you stir it, if you stir it long enough, you can take the spoon out and it's still going. That's the way our words are. You set in motion. You stir. When you start speaking positively or negatively, you're setting things in motion. You're setting things in motion. And though you may have stopped talking about it, it's still going. Well, what do I do if I want to change that? Just go in the other direction. Now, understand, if you go in the other direction, it's going to be disruptive for a minute. It's going to be disruptive for a minute because now you're going against an established order. You're going against an established system, and it's going to be disruptive for a minute. But if you keep speaking, pretty soon you turn the motion around, and what once was going negative, now you're speaking life to it, and you're starting to see the residual of that thing. And the same way it kept going when you stopped speaking, the last thing you spoke is still gonna still be the order of the day. Hallelujah. Amen. Quit saying you're broke. Amen. I have more than enough. I'm blessing others. Amen. I walk in victory every day. Amen. I'm a problem solver. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been created to solve a problem in the world. You start saying that. Amen. Anything come at you that look like a problem, I got that thing. I got you. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. I don't know who that was for. I don't know who that was for, but that's worth the price of admission. Amen. 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 Let's do our Bible affirmation. To all our guests, we thank God for each and every one of you. Amen. Thank you for being here. Out of all the places you could have gone, you chose to be here. I believe it's a divine setup. Amen. I believe God's getting ready to show you something that you've never seen before, take you someplace you never known before, and remind you of stuff he's already said that you might have forgotten. Amen. Amen. If you're watching us by social media, amen, I hope you get blessed by what you hear, but I'm telling you, it's nothing like being here. Nothing like being here. Amen. Amen. I love Anita Baker, and I got all her albums, but you know it ain't nothing like sitting up under her. Oh, God. I love my wife. I love my wife. But when she starts singing Sweet Love, woo. I look at my wife. Thank you, brother. You know what? You my dude. Amen. You kept me strong. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's nothing like being here. Nothing like being here. Amen. Let's stand and do our Bible affirmation. Stand on our feet, do our Bible affirmation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We went to Constitution Hall. Anita Baker was there. And I was up in were we in the balcony? We kind of up in the balcony. And before I knew it, my octave had went up high, and I was doing this. And Amita said, she said, "Don't you run down there to that stage." She said, "And if you do, you better come back with everything you had on before you left." Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. She knows. You know, she got me. She got me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's do a Bible affirmation. Let's say it loud and proud. We're coming from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. That's where we're going to come from today. Let's do our Bible affirmation. Say it loud and proud. Ready? Go. This is my Bible. It is the infallible, incorruptible, unstoppable, immutable word of God. It holds my peace, my victory, my breakthrough. This is my spiritual roadmap. This is my Bible. Do you believe that? Give God a shout. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 31. And again, for those who donated the items that we requested, we delivered them, took them to D.C. for transport to Houston. Thank you so much for sowing. Thank you so much for giving. Amen. I believe this, that when you do for others, God, it comes back to you. When you do for others, especially from a sincere heart, it comes back to you. It may not come back to you in the same way it went, but it will come back to you. Thank you so much for helping and being a blessing. I saw Bishop Hardin's his post, and he was down in Orange, and they were doing what FEMA was not. To their knowledge, with all that money, they still hadn't got on the ground yet in Orange, Texas, but the church was there. The church was there. And I thank God we were able to partner with them and help them. Those supplies, they are on the way. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We may be called on again. Irma just hit land this morning in Florida. We may be called on again. No one's asking you to do everything, but do something. Do something. No one's asking you to do everything, but do something. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Hallelujah. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time. Now, Lord, speak through these lips of clay. Think through this mind, oh God. We thank you for those who are here to hear you. They didn't come to hear me. They came to hear you, Father God. So speak clearly. We thank you right now, God, for ears that are circumcised and hearts that are circumcised to not only hear your word, but to receive it by faith in the name of Jesus. Thank you for clarity. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for grace. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We're continuing with our series, Put That Over There. This is part three of a four-part series, Put That Over There. And first part we talked about, we said wash up. Number two, we said word up. And number three, we're talking about weight up. Weight up. W-E-I-G-H-T. Weight up. Weight up. I felt conflicted because I'm trying to get my weight down. God is saying we need to get our weight up. We need to lift some weights that are on us that we carry, lift those weights off of us. We need to make them, like the Old Testament, a heave offering to the Lord. Get them off of you and give them to God. The Bible says, cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. Some of us, in case you didn't know it, I'm already preaching. I'm already teaching. Some of us, we carry our cares instead of casting them. Hallelujah. We care, these are the same cares that we complain about, but the evidence shows in our demeanor, our attitude, that we're carrying things that God says he wants to carry. He's volunteering. He says, cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. And so I want to talk about one instance from the text today. I want to talk about bitterness. I want to talk about how bitterness affects us. The effects of bitterness. Bitterness. Somebody shout bitterness. Bitterness. When Sydney, and she still does it to this day, but when she was real little, when she was a baby, she would reach for our lemons. She would reach for our lemons, and she would bite the lemon, which even as a little baby, and you expect them their faces to cringe, but she just like you got another one. She didn't the flavor of the lemon didn't affect her at all. To this day, she still takes them and she'll put them in her mouth and she'll get all of the juice out of them because it did not affect her at all. If you're not bit the spirit of bitterness, it is what the enemy uses to destroy the spiritual palate of the believer, to the point to where anything we taste after that is affected by the bitterness that preceded it. When you taste anything bitter, if you're not careful, that bitter flavor will corrupt the taste of anything that comes behind it. And spiritually, the enemy understands, if I can get you bitter in your spirit, I have not taken you away. I've not snatched you away from God. But if I can introduce bitterness into your spirit, anything that you receive from God from that point on will be tainted. We got to understand this right quick. Bitterness is it does take in the end, but its major thrust is to mess up what is already there. Because here's what does bitterness taints more than it takes. T-A-I-N-T-S. It taints more than it takes. Bitterness it spoils more than it steals. It will eventually steal your joy, your peace, your love. But before that, it'll spoil your ability to really receive those gifts like you should. Bitterness, it ruins more than it robs. It's not there to take away from you more or less. It just wants to mess up what you already have. So you'll stay in a relationship bitter. So you'll go to a job that God blessed you with bitter. So you'll have relationships and contacts, and because of what somebody else did in the past, it now affects where you are today because you're bitter. Bitter. And Paul is saying here in this Ephesian letter, he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, let it be put away from you with all malice. He says, distance yourself from bitterness. We have to distance ourselves. If he's given us this instruction to distance ourselves from bitterness, to put it away from us, it means that it is possible. There are some people who say, I can't. La, la, la. Paul says, it's possible. It's possible to put bitterness away from you. But pastor, you don't know what they did. No, I don't know what they did, but I know what is possible. God says you can put it away. Put it away. So I got three things I'm going to deal with real quick, and then we're going to load up our little red wagon, and we're going to be out of your way. Now, Ephesians, before I go there, I need to tell you, Ephesians is a loaded book. If you were in literature class in high school, we had to read Moby Dick. Big old thick book. Big old book. Ephesians, it's supposed to be the most complex reading assignment of your entire high school career. And so the Ephesians would be the equivalent of that comprehensive, all-encompassing literature assignment in high school, because it is so rich, it is so deep, it is so replete with wisdom and nuggets that you can't just read that through and get it in one reading. It is something that you have to read a little bit, step back, and let it marinate. Paul, in the other epistles and other books that were written, they're written to deal with issues that come up. So what usually happens, somebody will write the apostle, and the apostle will respond back with instructions on how to correct it. But in Ephesians, Paul is dealing with issues that go beyond the topical and the superficial. He's dealing with issues that go down to the root. He's dealing with not only what you say, but the thoughts you thought before it fell out your face. He's not dealing only with what your hands did, but he's dealing with the heart that drove your hands to do it. Ephesians is really the cornerstone of the New Testament, because this is how you learn to live as a disciple. The other books are they are good, they have their place, but they are more dealing with your activity. Ephesians is dealing with the mentality of the believer. And Paul is going deep, and he's dealing with those things that most people don't talk about, but they know that they are there. We need to start living our life like Ephesians is written. Talking about the stuff that nobody wants to touch, but we know is there.
The things that if we get through a social gathering without them coming up, we sit back in our car and go, whew. But these are the very things that produce the fruit that will, if we're not careful, will embarrass us in public. These are the things. Paul deals with the root of issues that if they're not dealt with, they will be the ones that embarrass you in public. And Paul is dealing with this bitterness. Bitterness is a root. The Bible talks about a root of bitterness. You don't see it. But you know it's there by the fruit that is observed in the life of the believer. Bitterness, it is a root that is hidden, that is deep, that you can't really get to it just on the surface. You got to dig deep. Paul, he says, we got to deal with this root of bitterness. And there's so much that he says before this that sets us up. Because if you look at before that, he goes about, he says, in one translation, he says, therefore. You can't have a therefore if you don't have a wherefore. So there's something that came before that. We're gonna get into that. We're gonna get into that on Wednesday. So if you want to get the full meat of this, you got to get here Wednesday. But here Paul is talking about getting rid of this root of bitterness. Let it be put away from you. Three things I want to touch on about what the root of what bitterness will cause. Number one, bitterness causes a change in altitude. Three things that it does. It causes a change in altitude because bitterness is heavy. Bitterness is heavy. To walk around bitter is heavy. It's a weight. And let me just, I got ahead of myself. Let me define. I was looking up the word bitterness in the dictionary, and I was writing it down, and the Holy Spirit said, no, let's keep it simple. Here's what bitterness is. Bitterness is old anger. It's old anger. It's vintage anger. Anger that hadn't been dealt with. Anger that got swept up under the rug. Bitterness is that anger that has, as my grandma said, has gone to seed. It stayed on the vine too long, and now it ain't good for nothing but to be given to the hogs. I didn't tell y'all too much about my past. I tell y'all too much. but that's what bitterness is, vintage anger. It's anger that was never dealt with, that was never confronted, that stayed hidden, but in its hidden state in the dark, what it did, it got more potent and more powerful. That's what bitterness is. It's vintage anger. It's the stuff you didn't talk about. But it's close enough to come and show itself when the right atmosphere is in place. You all right? You wonderful? But let them come in the room. You all right? Not everything's okay. Everything, but let them show up to the family reunion. Bitterness, it changes and it affects the altitude. What it does, because it's heavy, it lowers, it drops you, it takes you from one altitude to a lower altitude. Bitterness brings you down, and when you come down, your vision comes down, and your hope comes down, and your strength comes down. It is so heavy that it depletes, it lowers your altitude so that the things that you normally would have been able to go over, now you run right into. Talking to somebody this morning. Bitterness, it lowers your altitude. Everything that before you were bitter, you were able to go up, you're able to rise above it. You're able to rise above it. I'm rubber, you glue. What you say bounces off of me and sticks to you. See, before you got bitter, you could say that and mean that. And they were talking about you, but you're like, I don't care, because that's not me. I only respond to who I am. But when you get bitter, everything that's thrown at you sticks on you. When you're bitter, it lowers your altitude, and so you start hitting everything. They're not even talking about you, but you hear something you don't like. What you saying? What you mean by that? When bitterness causes a lowering of your altitude, you're not able to rise above the stuff that you were designed to rise above, and you hit it every time. And what happens when your altitude is low, then you incur more damage. Nothing like you. Some of you know a bitter person. You know that you can't say a whole lot around a bitter person. When that person, you gotta pick and choose what you can say. No, I can't say that. I can't do that. You're walking on eggshells because you know the slightest thing. They got a hairpin trigger, and they will go off on you. Because bitterness causes the altitude. It sucks the air out of your life. And what happens, you start getting lower and lower and lower. And more bitter people, if you look at those who've been depressed, you look deep enough, you see a root of bitterness. Depressed people will have a root somewhere of bitterness. What are you holding on to that God is challenging you to let go? What have you strapped to yourself that God in his word has given you the key to release you, but you, instead of releasing yourself, you throw the key away and hold on to the thing he's trying to release you from? Bitterness. Bitterness causes a low altitude. It lowers your altitude. And what happens? You never see yourself any lower than where you are. You never see yourself going any further than where you are. You never see yourself moving past this because the altitude is so low. Number two, bitterness causes a loss of appetite. Loss of appetite. When you're bitter, you don't want to eat nothing. When you're bitter, like I told you, it flavors everything behind it. When you're bitter, you lose your appetite. And when you lose your appetite, you become not malnourished. You lose your strength when you don't eat. And when you don't eat and you lose your strength, it makes you susceptible to sickness, vulnerable to attacks. Bitterness, it robs us and takes our appetite. When you're bitter, especially those believers, this is why the enemy does it. He says, if I can get you bitter, then you won't have a desire for the word of God anymore. Especially if I can get you bitter over something that happened at church. Oh, my God. My God. Listen. You got to understand this. The church is a hospital for hurting people. Hallelujah. And as wonderful as the hospital is, listen, if you stay in the hospital, if you're not careful, you can get sick in the hospital. Come on in here, somebody. Don't look at me like that. If you're not careful, you can get, if you're not taking the precautions to keep yourself from catching what's out there. You can go to the hospital, get treated for one thing, but catch something else. Thank you for that one hand clap. I appreciate that. But if you built up your immune system, if your immune system is, and how do you keep it built up? By eating. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. See, listen, the reason why many of us are falling into stuff we're falling in is because we're eating snacks. We're eating snacks. We're munching. Oh, okay. That's why. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Holy Spirit, I will. Listen. I got nothing against social media. We use social media. But if you use social media as your church, you in a bad place. Thank you for that. if you going flipping through to try to figure out, let me, why'd you need a word when you got a word? What you need a word when you got all the word? So we snack. Well, I like his post. I like her post. Well, I like that post. You're snacking. You're snacking. And no, they can be a blessing. But let me tell you what happens. What's greater is, listen, understand, if that post blessed you, guess where they got it from? Why not go to the source where the snack you just ate came from? We snack. And you can't get good nourishment from a snack. You gotta get some real foods, something solid that sticks to your bones. And that's what happens. When bitterness comes in, it takes your appetite. And so you'd rather work than worship. Let me put in overtime and double time. Meanwhile, your spirit is starving. My grandmother said it like this. She told me a story. She said, "Baby, there was a man who come down from the mountains, and he had two dogs. Now, please don't write me no letters. Just listen. It's a story. He had two dogs, and he'd get his supplies. He come down twice a year. Come down from the mountains, and he'd get a 6-month supply. And when he come down, he'd bring his dogs. He had two dogs. He had a brown dog. He had a black dog. And he would fight the dogs. And they bet on the dogs. And every dog he bet on would always win. Somebody asked him the question one day, how do you know which dog is going to win? And he said, the one I feed the most. It's the one you feed the most that's going to always win. But if you keep snacking to feed your spirit, but you stuff your flesh, who do you think's gonna win? Ha! You read your word, you read a little bit. You don't read it, you read at it. You read at it. You fall asleep after two verses, but you can stay up and binge watch Power. Binge watch Scandal and tweet about, Olivia Pope. Whoa. But we can't get you to recite a memory verse. Who gonna win? The one you feed the most. And bitterness, it robs us of our spiritual appetite. When you're bitter in your spirit, you don't want to hear nothing from God because you know that's gonna challenge where you are. Hallelujah. 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 Number three. What I say? What's number one? Number one? Bitterness changes your altitude. Number two, bitterness changes your. Number three, bitterness changes your accuracy. I'm working amazed this morning. Bitterness changes your accuracy. What do you mean by that? When you're bitter, you're not just bitter at the person or the thing that made you bitter. You're bitter at everybody. When you really have legitimate anger toward a thing or a person, you can aim it right at that person. But bitterness takes the scope off your gun. Bitterness, you change. You go from a rifle to a buckshot. A scatter gun. My grandmother had a scatter gun. And she used buckshot, little bitty lead balls that were in a shell case, but when they shot out, they just dispersed, a wide dispersion. And she did that to run off old stray dogs. But she had this called rat shot. Y'all remember? Y'all, I'm really telling on y'all. Rat shot was rock salt, and it didn't kill you, but it stung like nobody's business. Just think about hot salt going into your skin. And you see dogs running down the street, dragging their behind. because grandma done fill it full of rat shot. When you're bitter, your accuracy is out the window. What I'm really trying to say, when you're bitter, you hit everybody. Your bitterness, everybody gets a bit of your bitterness. When you're bitter, you can't just aim it for this person. It hit everybody. You're bitter. You can't control this bitterness. You can't control bitterness. You're upset about this, but everybody feels it. Your accuracy is off. How many times have you been the recipient of something and you didn't even do it? Come in and they going for your jugular. What'd I do? It wasn't you, boo. It's called bitterness. Bitterness has no discriminating process. My uncle, and ooh, God rest his soul, but I did not like him. When one person got in trouble, everybody got a whooping. That ain't right. When we get to heaven, I'm gonna talk to him about that. That ain't right. That's not right. Like, listen, I'm outside and this happened inside. Why does everybody gotta line up and grab their ankles? What's that? Ain't right, man. I feel some kind of way about that. I thought I was over that. Amen. That ain't right. Everybody come in. But here's what he did. I understand what he did because we won't police everybody else. But no, man, that ain't right. Bitterness knows no accurate, has no accuracy. And if you don't release it, you will run off good people. You have the potential of ruining good relationships because you hadn't dealt with the issue in the bad one. Bitterness. It affects the accuracy. So what do we do, Pastor? If bitterness exists and it causes a change in my altitude, it causes a change in my appetite, it makes me inaccurate, it affects my accuracy when I'm really trying to deal with one thing, I'm hidden and hurting everybody else, what do I do? And I looked at this, and again, the Holy Spirit said, keep it simple. How do we change? How do we turn the tide of bitterness? It's real simple. Forgive. Forgive. Bitterness is vintage anger. You got to go back to that place where the anger originates. What did they do? And we may never know why they did what they did or why it happened the way it happened. I want to alert you to a blessing that you're overlooking. If it's in your past, it meant you survived it. Sometimes we get so concerned with the anger and what they did, we miss the blessing that it didn't kill us. When the Bible says it's the enemy's desire, he said, Jesus told Satan, told Peter, Satan had desire to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fail you not. He said, I didn't pray that it missed you. I just prayed you wouldn't buckle under the pressure. And many times we miss the blessing that if that thing that hurt us didn't kill us, meant God has a purpose for it. And if we hold on to it, we miss the lesson. So, how do we correct it? How do we keep from losing altitude? How do we keep from losing our appetite? How do we keep from just hitting everybody that we shouldn't? But wind up doing anyway. We have to forgive. The Greek word for forgive literally means to send forth, to breathe. When we walk in unforgiveness, it's like walking with holding your breath. You can only do it effectively for so long. And the longer you go without oxygen, the more you lose consciousness. And so we got the walking dead in our homes, on our jobs, because the life-giving breath of God has been cut off because they refuse to send it forth. My question to some of you today, and you who are listening, what is it that God's calling you to let go you won't send forth? What are you about to pass out over that God says you don't really need to hold on to anymore? It's that simple. Forgive. The Bible says, I'm paraphrasing, it says it like this: how can you say you love me, God is saying, whom you never seen, and hate your brother whom you see every day? Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this example. How can you love me? That's vertically, God is saying. How can you love me vertically, but hate your brother horizontally? Until you love, you can't love me vertically until you love your brother horizontally. Loving him should provoke me to love you. Ha! And the more I love him, it helps me to love you better. And before you know it, I'm behind the cross. I'm behind the cross. And so I hide myself behind the cross. So when you do hurt me, I keep loving God, and he keeps giving me the strength to keep loving you. Forgive. You got to. You have to. You have to. Because the Bible says, and I'm paraphrasing, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. As means in the same measure. So if you're wondering why you keep hitting the wall and why you keep being reminded and plagued with the stuff that you've asked God to forgive you of, who have you not forgiven? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's real simple. The word today, God saying, he said, I need some of y'all to breathe. I need some of y'all to breathe. Some of you are not breathing. And because of that, you've not moved from that place. You're still stagnant in that place. God. The reason why you're losing stamina is because you're not breathing. Anybody who's lift weights, you know you got to breathe to get that stuff off of you. You got to breathe. You got to control your breathing. And I hear God saying, somebody, I need you to breathe. Send it forth. But Pastor, you don't know what he did. No, I don't, but God does. But Pastor, you don't know how they just tore up my life. Do you not believe God to be a mender of broken things? Send it forth. Cast your care on him because he cares. Unforgiveness, if we're not careful, it will rob us of every blessing that God has for us. It's time. Quit dealing with the leaves of the problem and get to the root. Bitterness is a root. It's vintage anger. He says, gotta wait up. There's some things I want to, God says, there's some things I want to pour into your life that will make you ready for the next level I want to take you. But this root is taking up space that belongs to me, the Lord is saying. I'm trying to build you up on your most holy faith. But I need the space that root is taking up right now. It's time for us to get our weight up. Because we're fighting demons now that are on another level. Because the time is quickly approaching. You're not fighting your teenage demons no more. You're not fighting your 20-year-old demons no more. You're fighting grown, mature demons that are coming in day by day. There's a breach. Can I tell you this? A breach was made over our nation. I'm not just talking about recently. The decisions that we've made to turn our backs on the Word of God have opened a breach. And what we're seeing now, 3 hurricanes at one time. Fires, earthquakes. Understand this. This is not judgment. He told us what judgment was going to look like. This is not judgment. This is a warning. It's a warning. It's a warning. Warnings come to give us time to correct. Warnings come to give us an opportunity to make right what's wrong. Breach was open. And God says, I need you to close the breach. You can't close the breach if you're bitter in your spirit. Because it's going to taint everything that comes behind it. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. Let God show you the roots. Be brave enough to ask Him where the roots are. And let Him show you how to get them. Put them away from you according to what the Word of God says. I need everybody standing in this room.